Let's have a word of prayer and then we will look at today's message. Our Father, we thank you for your word and its power. We thank you, Lord, that our souls can cry out that it is well with us what you have done. And Father, we ask that you would meet with us during this hour, that we would behold wonderful things out of your law. There's so much that we have yet to learn, and Father, we thank you that we will have all eternity to continue exploring what it is that you have done for us and those things that you have in store for us. Father, we pray that you would meet with us, that our hearts would be open and not rejecting the word that you have for us, and Lord, that we might have a changed heart from this service today. And Lord, we ask these things that your name might be praised, both now and forever. Amen. Today we're going to be looking at the topic that in English we often describe as gossip. We will not be able to do a full deep dive into this. It is a horrible and wicked sin, and it is quite damaging. And it is something that the devil has used from way back. He uses it because it builds upon something that is inbuilt in us and is good, and he twists it. This is true of all the sins that the devil uses in our lives. He takes something that is good, and he twists it so that we do that which is wrong in the sight of God. And there are so many examples of that. We won't look at all of those things today. We're focusing in on gossip. We'll see that there's a few words that the Bible uses for this English word gossip, or what we generally describe gossip as being. Words such as whisperings, lying, tale-bearing, backbiting, etc. There's a whole bunch of them, and we kind of lump them into the category of gossip. It is a dangerous, it is a destructive thing. In English, we use the word gossip to mean to chat or talk a lot, to tell tales, to run about, to run from house to house giving all of the news, whether it's true or not. And then for words like backbite, in the Bible, that means to censure, to reproach, to speak evil of, to go behind someone's back, backstabbing them. Backbiting, backstabbing, those are all words we could use as synonyms there. And so these concepts really tie in together. They often go together. You might say, well, Pastor John, what is the good that the devil twists that then becomes gossip? Well, I want to tell us that the good is us being careful and interested in each other's lives. Do you know, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he intended for them to care about each other. And as they had children and children and children's children and down the line, down to us, we're all relatives of each other. And just like most families, hopefully we care about one another. The devil twists that. Instead of our attention and interest in other people's lives being something that allows us to help, encourage, strengthen, and build up, it is turned into something that tears down, harms, or destroys. We could go into all of the evils of gossip, how when something is said that might even be true. Okay, so I'm not saying that gossip is necessarily lies, but something that might be true, if it's something is said that then damages someone, how that damage could be. We could go on for many, many days giving illustrations of something that was said that got around and got exaggerated, expanded upon, etc., and then hurt someone. This is something we need to be careful of. But before we look at gossip, I want us to see how the body of Christ should work together. And if we look in Ephesians chapter 4, we won't turn to very many passages this morning, but we will turn to a few. And Ephesians 4 is the first because it shows us how we ought to be behaving and, I think, tells us God's intention for our interest in one another. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verses 15 to 16. But speak the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now you may have noticed a bookend in this two verses here. We have the first phrase ending with truth in love. The truth needing to be spoken in love. It's not something that we can just hold the truth, but that we must hold it in a loving manner, especially in relation to everyone in the body of Christ, that is part of the church and everyone else. There's no reason to be unloving towards those who are outside of Christ. In fact, our love towards one another and towards those who are unsaved is a great draw to tell people that this is something different. This is not just the followings of a great teacher, but this is changed lives who love one another and who love those who are unlovely. But we find at the end of verse 16 that this is the bookends. This is unto the edifying of itself in love. That is, that the whole body, that's every individual working together, that all will be brought to greater maturity, strength, to be built up. Not that one person is being built up and the other person's being cut down at the knees, but that everyone in the church, everyone that are part of the body of Christ, would be brought to more and more love for Him. And love is an integral part to this, because you cannot speak the truth and accomplish the goal of building someone up if you're not loving in your way of describing it. Some of you may have noticed I'm not very good at dressing myself. I've mentioned it, the only reason I look good is because my wife is good at picking out good outfits for me. She makes sure I match and that everything is pressed and looks good. Okay? That's her. If you saw me before I met her, you would say, yep, that's all Gabriella. It's not John. It's 100% her. I'm not super good at doing that. But if someone came up to me and just said, John, you're ugly, I might have to agree or say, okay, I don't know how to dress, sure, but it's not going to help me to improve, is it? It's not going to help me to improve when you have a teacher that is good, one that really is able to help you learn. I know all of us have had those years in school where a certain teacher, they were able to communicate to us, and we learned a lot under that particular teacher, maybe more than another. Or that one year when we were paying attention and our mom, who was our teacher, actually had our attention and we learned more. Whatever. But they were able to reach to us. And often it wasn't by berating us, yelling at us, putting us down, but rather it was their encouragement of those aspects where we were doing things well. And it was their pointing out errors but saying, if you do it this way, it'll be easier. If you hold your hand this way, your handwriting will be neater. That never worked with me either. But your handwriting can be neater. If you do it this way, you'll actually be able to add 2 and 2 and get 4. Here you go. And so the method of building someone up, encouraging them, strengthening them, as it says here in Ephesians, edifying them, is something that must be done in love. I think this is also one area that we often get tripped up in. We say, I learned this about so-and-so, and it's the truth. And at that point, it could still be true. But then who do we go to? Who do we talk to? How do we deal with something that might not be positive in someone else's life? Well, I can tell you what the wrong answer is. The wrong answer is gossip about it. The right answer is to build them up. Sometimes that means holding our tongue and being long-suffering with them making mistakes so that they can see that they're actually making a mistake. Sometimes it means us coming alongside them and saying, you know, if you did it this way, it would actually improve your life. Or this is an error that's hurting you. And you might need to stop that. Coming alongside, building up. This is not the job of the pastor. This is the job of everyone in the whole congregation. To each one, as it says there in verse 16, fitly joined together, compacted under pressure, that every joint putting on that pressure according to the effectual working of each part makes the whole body to increase, makes the whole body to become better, stronger. We have here the aim, the goal. Gossip cuts this out. It destroys our ability to build each other up. You may say, Pastor John, what do you mean? If I'm telling the truth and I'm, you know, telling other people about a problem, then surely that's the right thing to do. No. If you tell the gossip about someone and they find out, are they ever going to trust you again? The answer is they're unlikely to trust you. Also, they are unlikely to listen when you have a just criticism later. And they will be unwilling to hear your encouragement to do better. And so we must be very careful that we are aimed at edifying one another in our speech all the time. We have, therefore, now to look at what gossip is, what it does, and how we might be able to prevent it. And we'll move quickly through these points here. So first, what it is. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, because there we have a description of gossip and some of its ill effects. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. This is in describing those who were widowed early and who did not, they didn't have any purpose in life, apparently, and they weren't walking with God. And it says here that we need to be careful and maybe even advise them to get remarried. Otherwise, they might learn what's told us in verse 13. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. This is a description of gossip. Going from house to house, that means not just going to the one person to whom it concerns, or to an authority to whom something needs to be reported, but rather going to everyone else, house to house. And the description continues, they are tattlers, the tellers of tales. They are telling things that may not be their stories to tell. Tattlers also, and busybodies, that is, they are interested in people's lives, but not for their benefit. Busybodies get their fingers into everything, and they are doing it out of pride or out of trying to make themselves look better, rather than someone who's edifying. We really have to contrast all the way through this what a gossip does and what edification does, because that will inform us on how we ought to behave. In verse 13, tattlers, busybodies, notice speaking things which they ought not. There are some things that are just not our business. Sometimes it's harmless, but it's not our story to tell. We should keep our mouths shut. Admittedly, as a man who doesn't like sharing his feelings, that's easy for me. That part of it's easy. The rest of it's hard. And truthfully, we are just as much at fault, men, in allowing gossip, we'll get to this, allowing gossip to happen in our presence, and we are just as much at fault if we are not full of speech that is edifying. We are just as much guilty of being gossips, busybodies, talebearers, whatever, however you want to describe it here, this topic of telling tales. This is also a sermon against us, because our mouths must be filled with edifying one another, or what are they filled with? So, yeah, anyways, we'll continue on. We've seen here a description of gossip. We've seen it, and it's not good. He's obviously saying that this is something that should be avoided. It's something that should be avoided at pretty drastic measures taken to prevent it. If we now go to Romans chapter 1, we see in Romans 1 a description of the whole world, really. Romans 1 gives us a description of every person outside of Christ. That is, unless Christ had changed us, this is a description of us. We fit somewhere in this list. Romans chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 29. And being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. We'll stop there at this point. These two verses really give us a number of words that describe gossip. The word at the end of verse 29, whisperers, that's the closest one that translates to gossip. Whisperers. You know, if you have some juicy news to tell to someone, you don't yell it from the treetops. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? No, it's always done this way. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? You know what they did? That's how it goes. And so whispering describes gossip. It describes it exactly. But it doesn't stop there. All throughout these two verses, we have damage being done by tongue to each other. We have backbiters. We have inventors of evil things. That is, saying bad things about other things. We have, in verse 29, malignity, deceit, and debate. All of this being done with unrighteousness. These are just descriptions of the human condition and how we act towards each other and towards God. We whisper about each other because we know it's not right. We know it shouldn't be heard, and so we pretend that something can be half heard. Jesus says our yea should be yea and our nay, nay. We should be entirely truthful, upfront, honest at all times, and whispering and backbiting should have no part in our life. That's who we were before salvation. We could continue on how many evil things are in this passage that are tied in with whispering. You know, it's hard to destroy the reputation of someone without whispering or backbiting or telling lies about them. If the lies were not told, then the gossip would die quickly. And as I've already said, gossip doesn't just include lies, it also includes true things, but things that shouldn't be passed on to someone else, things that should be dealt with between you and the brother or sister. In 2 Corinthians 12:20, Paul, he basically yells at the church in Corinth. He's describing all of the evil that's gone on in there, at the church there, and he says, "I fear lest when I come, I should not find you as I would, or as you should be, but that I shall find you as you would not like, being full of debates, envies, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults." Paul is correcting the church in Corinth because they are known, and understand this, Paul is writing this letter from a long way away, but he's heard the rumors that this is how they are behaving. They are backbiting, whispering, having strife, debates, envying one another, etc. And it's destroying their local church. We need to be careful that we do not fall into backbitings and whisperings. We have a few more descriptions of backbiting we can look at, but I think we need to go to our solutions then. Because I don't think anyone here would say, "Oh, but gossip is good. All but gossip is harmless." If you think that, then talk to me after the baptism, after the service today, and we can look more at how damaging gossip is. We find in Proverbs 25 and verse 26 a statement that might be confusing if you didn't understand that it's telling us how to stop a backbiting tongue. Proverbs 25 and verse 23. "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue." Let me read that again. "The north wind driveth away the rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue." If someone comes to you and begins to tell you gossip, what's the surest way to shut it down? It says here, an angry countenance. Someone who's saying, "Nuh-uh, not now, don't start, I don't want to hear it." Someone who is angry about it, that you would malign someone behind their back, that you would not be standing in front of their face telling them their faults, but instead behind their back, where they aren't going to be benefited at all, and that you're rather going to be destroying someone else's life. So we have here, an angry countenance will stop a backbiting tongue. This is something we all should practice. Now, we all know Jesus is loving, he's good, he's kind, but there were times when he was rightly upset, and where he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Those aren't gentle words, but they were said to Peter's face to correct him. And if someone is coming to you bringing gossip, make sure the gossip stops there. No, that's it. And don't just, "Oh yeah, let it come in one ear and I'm not going to repeat it," because that's not good enough. You need to make it very clear. An angry countenance is sometimes all it takes to make the person who's whispering ashamed that they are continuing to repeat something that is harmful to someone else. I guess you might put it this way: where's your angry face? It can drive those rain clouds that are coming, bringing the destruction of gossip away. Where's your angry face? We all need to practice that one occasionally. Maybe we should do that now. I can't do it now that I've said I'm going to do it. you might have to practice this one, to have an angry, a stern face that's not accepting of the gossip, but stopping it. In Ephesians 4 and verse 25, we read, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Put away lying and speaking truth. If we make a habit of always speaking truth, and notice there, it's not just with the other Christians, but with our neighbors. If we speak truth, then lies are going to be more foreign to us. We can put this in a couple of ways. We can say, if your mouth is full of truth, you do not have time for lies to creep in. So get a lot of truth in your mouth. I don't know how much more true you can get than the Bible. That might be a place to start. Another way you might describe this, having the truth in our mouth towards every neighbor and putting away lying, is if you find yourself lying, catch yourself, stop yourself, say, "Sorry, that's a lie. I'm not sure about that." And we really need to be careful. Sometimes we think something is true and it's not. We think, "Oh, this and this, and I saw that, and I saw that person go around over there. Maybe this is what's happening." And then we pass that on as if it is what has actually occurred. And we don't know that. We shouldn't speak evil of anyone without proof of it first. And so I would ask you, if what you're saying is not truth, that it's provable, don't pass it on. Don't pass it on. Only have truth in your mouth. Make sure that what you are saying is true. In Proverbs 6, we are told, "A false witness speaks lies and sows discord among brethren." This is exactly what gossip does. Often, even if there's a grain of truth, there's a lot of exaggeration or a lot of misunderstanding built around it. And as it gets passed along, there's more opportunity for it to change and to go wrong. And as it goes, it makes even good friends to be at odds with each other, to be enemies of each other. That word "sow discord" is to make them come to blows. We've all heard of the teenage problems where kids are at school and a friend says something about another friend behind their back, and then it ends up in a cat fight or a fist fight or something because someone was offended by someone else. We need to be careful that we do not sow discord among brethren. Is your intention as you are speaking to build up an individual, or are you trying to split two people who are friends apart? That's a good test you can run for yourself. Am I trying to help, or am I trying to, you know, split them apart for whatever reason? If we're trying to sow discord, we might be on the wrong path. If we go to Psalm 15, and we'll only go to two more passages here, but Psalm 15, I want us to see this isn't just a New Testament problem. It is a problem that humanity has faced forever. This is true of each one of us. And at different times, we've all gotten that bit of news that we thought was so exciting, and then we took it on ourselves to tell others. Psalm 15, verse 2-3. Well, actually, we'll just read verse 1. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord." And we'll stop there because that verse continues on. We don't need to go any further. We have here several aspects of how we can prevent backbiting. Number one, our attention needs to be on a relationship with God. Who can abide in thy tabernacle is the same as saying, who can live in your house, God. Who could stay with you? Well, only those who walk uprightly and are not backbiting with their tongue. This tells us that we should be looking at God and seeing Him and what He approves of in our speech. If we are doing that, if we are aiming to spend time with God, then our talk between each other will not be full of backbiting. We find at the end of verse 2, he says, that speaketh the truth. And right there we're like, okay, Pastor John, you've just gone back to the first verse you looked at. No. Notice it's speaketh truth in his heart. You see, most lies begin in our own heart. We need to make a practice of not lying to ourselves. Don't pretend that everything's okay when it's not okay. Don't pretend that you're getting along with so-and-so and you're fine with what's happening when you're not. Because all that does is make you put on a false front to hide who you truly are, and then it's easier to backstab somebody because you look like a friend, but you've never been a friend. We need to speak the truth in our own heart. This is not just about outward actions or words that are coming out of our mouth. In other words, you couldn't take a monk's vow to never speak again and actually fulfill what the psalmist here is asking. In our hearts, if we are not speaking the truth, then we are going to fail. We are going to be gossips. We are going to be busybodies, talebearers. We are going to fall into those things because that's the natural state of mankind. In verse 3, he talks about backbiting with the tongue. But notice he follows it up with doing evil to his neighbor. The motivation for our speech needs to be good towards everyone. Friends, enemies, neighbors, and everyone in between. Basically, if it's not good, you shouldn't be talking it. If it's not helpful, if it's not building up in love, then it is wrong and don't do it. Now again, I have to caution, this doesn't mean everything we say is going to be nice or well received. We could look at many occasions where Jesus himself was speaking something that would have helped someone, and then they did not receive it. The rich young ruler comes to mind. He was given a command by Jesus, and if he had done so, it would have been to his soul's salvation if he had listened to Jesus. But he went away sorrowing. He did not receive the message that he was told. When we are speaking, it's not that we will always say something nice or something that is approved by the person who is hearing it, but rather that it is for their good. Talking to someone else, a third party, does not solve the problems that we have witnessed most of the time. Most of the time, it's talking to the person who's had the problem. Talking to them will help them to fix their problem. So, we need to fear the Lord and honor those that fear the Lord. We could, again, continue all day, but we are out of time. So, my recommendations today are: put on an angry face when someone is passing gossip in your presence so that they realize that it is not allowed around you. This not only stops it at you, but stops it before you. And maybe it'll be the thing that turns someone's heart from passing things on to reflecting that they need to build up. Secondly, let us speak truth in our hearts. Let us speak truth to everyone. And if our mouths are full of truth, we will not be full of gossip. Finally, let us build up one another and be looking out for what's best for others, that will improve our relationships with them and also our conversations to them and about them. And so, today I want to say, don't stop having an interest in other people's lives. Still doesn't work. Have an interest in everyone's life. Don't pass on anything. Try and help others to see their faults and grow. Don't destroy them. Don't backbite. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then we will continue. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its power. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to each be careful of our speech, that we would, as the little kids' song said, be careful, little mouths, what you say. And Father, we ask that you would keep our hearts in the truth, that we would be too afraid of offending, destroying, and breaking and sowing discord to ever harm those that we are around. And Lord, may we stand for you. We ask these things that your name be praised. Amen.